be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, Amen, amen, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it. And whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be. The Father will honor whoever serves me. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Up until 2.5 weeks ago, today's liturgical celebration was unique in the Church because the Feast of St. Lawrence was the only feast of any saint who was not an apostle, an evangelist, Mary, or John the Baptist, those who had those very deep and intimate, obvious relationships with the Lord. Mary Magdalene, as we know, just had her obligatory memorial raised to the level of a feast to celebrate the mercy that she had received and the fidelity that she had in passing on the good news of the faith. For centuries, St. Lawrence was given this special dignity. First and foremost, because he was the third patron of the Church of Rome. And as Roman Catholics, we celebrate that feast with our brothers and sisters in that Mater et Caput Omnium Ecclesiarum Toto Urbe et Urbe. We celebrate with the mother and head of all the churches throughout the city and the world. We celebrate this as a great feast because it is the celebration of the diaconate. There were three very famous deacons throughout the history of the Church. One is St. Francis of Assisi. Another is obviously the proto-martyr St. Stephen. But perhaps the greatest enfleshment of who a deacon is and is supposed to be, we celebrate today in the Feast of St. Lawrence. And we'll talk about why in just a second. But the third is that his martyrdom was the most influential martyrdom during the age of persecutions. The first Christians were so spurred on to faith by the stories of the virgin martyrs that these young girls with extraordinary courage stared down the prefects and even the governors and the emperors, keeping their purity, not fainting at the thought of blood, but willingly giving it out of love for Christ. But it was St. Lawrence's martyrdom and the accounts that quickly passed around the Church that taught the first Christians not to fear even when people would kill, but to maintain your joy even during the martyrdom. So let's pour in. Today's readings help us a great deal to figure out what the point of our life is and how we can do what we prayed for at the beginning of this Mass. Love what St. Lawrence loved and do what he taught through his actions and through his words. Today's Gospel, Jesus swears an oath and he says, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. Pope Benedict, as I'm sure you remember, 10 years ago, in Deus Caritas Est, said that this is the essence of Christianity. With his extraordinarily synthetic mind, he could have chosen lots of passages in sacred scripture which would be defined as the core nucleus of our faith. But he said, this is. To follow Christ along that path of the grain of wheat, that if we think we're going to bear fruit without our self-death, we're mistaken. There's no sanctity on the cheap. There's no holiness by shortcut. We've got to go the path of the grain of wheat, just like Jesus did. And he re-emphasizes the point. He says, the one who loves his life and wants to preserve it, not give it away, not die to himself or herself, will lose it. And whoever hates his life in this world, and that hate in the mentality of both Hebrew as well as in Aramaic, is to knock down a peg, to prefer less, doesn't mean to despise. But whoever knocks down his life in this world in comparison to what he or she's affirming forever will preserve it for eternal life. That we've got to be willing to lose our life. Then he goes on, whoever serves me must follow me. So that where Jesus is, we will be with him, and the Father will honor whoever serves Jesus by following him in this way. And Jesus doesn't walk down to Club Med and say, follow me. He walks along the narrow, uphill, bloody way of the cross, and he wants us to serve him by following him on that path and laying down our life as a ransom for others. This is the essence of Christianity. Many think that the essence of Christianity is to affirm what's in the creed. That's part of Christianity, no question about it, but it's not the essence. Because Christianity is fundamentally not a catechism. Christianity is fundamentally a way of life. It is a life-changing, enduring relationship with God that so transforms us that in transforming us, it transforms the world. So the essence of Christianity is serving Christ by following him as that grain of wheat, giving of ourselves and dying so that we might bear abundant fruit. This is a lesson St. Paul lived for St. Lawrence. And he was encouraging the early church to live it as well. Today's first reading from the second letter to the Corinthians, he teaches some essential truths about the essence of our life. First thing, let's take from the bottom of the passage. The one who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed and increase the harvest of your righteousness. God gives us himself in multiform graces so that we might be enriched and be able to sow. The same Lord to whom we pray, give us today our daily bread, who has never stiffed us, he gives himself as our seed, preaches it in his word, he in fact gives himself to us in Holy Communion. But that one, he wants to increase the harvest of our righteousness, that our good deeds might bear abundant fruit to the glory of the Father. And so we have great confidence first. And then let's flip back to the beginning of the reading. Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. How are we sowing? With all the gifts that God has given us, himself, do we sow sparingly, trying to save our life in this world? Or do we sow bountifully, giving ourselves to God and others? Are we reaping bountifully? A lot of the times we're not necessarily going to see the reaping right now. Seed takes some time to grow. We have to be patient. But over the course of time, we begin to see that bountiful harvest of righteousness. And we will obviously see it if we've sowed bountifully. We will see it in heaven. What we can control, though, is how we are regularly giving ourselves in the little things of every day. How we're pouring ourselves into the Mass. That we're preparing to lay our whole life on the altar as Jesus gives us his body and blood. We see it in the receptivity we have to the word that he sows within us every day, and how we want to take that word and bear fruit 30, 60, or 100-fold. We see it by the way we correspond in this Jubilee of Mercy to the way that we receive the grace of a totally new life in that sacrament, and how we pay that mercy forward. We see it in the circumstances that try our patience, to real opportunities for growth and holiness. How are we sowing? And one of the real litmus tests to whether we're sowing bountifully is whether we're doing it with cheerfulness. Because if we're not doing it with cheerfulness, we're not really doing it fully. I've had the privilege so many times to preach the Triduums for the Missionaries of Charity, which they always do in anticipation of their patronal feast, which is the old calendar's Immaculate Heart of Mary, which is what we celebrate in the new calendar on August 22nd. And they always have you preach on the same theme every year, that spirit of the Missionaries of Charity, which is to imitate Jesus and Mary's total surrender, loving trust, and cheerfulness. That if we lovingly trust God, we're going to surrender to him totally. But if we've truly surrendered to him, then it has to be cheerful. Because if we're not doing it cheerfully, it hasn't been done totally yet. Because we're just doing it as a duty rather than with the love that will always produce the fruit of joy. So that's why St. Paul says that God loves a cheerful giver, that we must sow bountifully without sadness or compulsion. So one of the tests, if we're sowing bountifully, is does it fill us with resentment or does it fill us with great joy? God, the one who gives seed to the sower, wants to give the joy of the sowing, and it's there for us, provided that we're receptive and responsive. And then St. Paul gives us words of confidence and hope. God is able to make every grace abundant for you, so that in all things you may have an abundance for every good work. He wants to make things overflow for us so that our sowing will be overflowing and our reaping even more so. Let's look to St. Lawrence. On August 6, 258, Pope St. Sixtus was celebrating the liturgy in the catacombs of St. Praetextatus. And it was at that time when the Roman soldiers, knowing that they were celebrating Mass there, came in and slay them at the altar. The Pope and six of his deacons. They allowed St. Lawrence, who was the archdeacon, a few days to go and prepare the treasures of the church. The Romans wanted to decapitate the church by burning all their books, destroying all their sacred vessels, and executing their leaders, because they thought that would be the way to extirpate Christianity. So Lawrence took the charge and he went and he assembled all of the church's treasure. And one of the most famous scenes in hagiography brought that treasure. All the poor, Catholics and non-Catholics alike, to present them. Because this really is the treasure it wasn't just a cute little act. It wasn't just to make a point. It wasn't just to protect the so-called real treasures of the missals and the Bibles and the vessels. St. Lawrence was convinced, as the Church remains convinced, that the real treasure are the pearls of great price for whom Jesus gave his entire life. So he assembled all of the poor as the treasures that they were and sincerely presented them before the governor. The governor was outraged. First, because he didn't get his way to get his hands on what he thought were the church's treasures. Second, he thought he was being mobbed. He had already predetermined that Lawrence was going to be executed. He was just trying to get the bounty before the execution, in the same way that the Nazis used to make many of the Jews think that if they gave all their gold caps and all the treasures of their homes over to the Nazis, maybe they would be speared. And so he ordered that Lawrence's execution be particularly brutal, much like the ancient King Nebuchadnezzar had wanted to make the fire so much hotter for the three young men. And so they burned him on a gridiron, which is one of the most painful ways to die. The sadists of yesteryear had perfected lots of ways to kill people in the most painful way possible. But to be burned on a gridiron as if you were an animal, burned alive, so that different parts of your flesh would be scorched, it's particularly hard. But Lawrence sowed himself cheerfully in that martyrdom. He himself was willing to go the way of the grain of wheat. And so while he was being burned alive, said, famously and recorded at the time, it's not just something made up by a legend centuries later, "Asum est versa et manduca," loosely translated, "This side's done, turn me over and eat." He was seeing himself as a holocaust on the altar of a gridiron, and that his whole life was becoming Eucharistic. Cheerful until the very end, because he knew exactly what was happening. Not only was he being given this opportunity to serve Christ by following him through the self-giving of martyrdom to life eternal, but he was also sowing himself in such a way that so many of the church's treasure, so many of the poor and the faithful would receive an example that would inspire them not to be intimidated by only those who could kill the body but couldn't reach the soul, but to follow him and following Christ and giving all cheerfully. And St. Lawrence's witness was a compelling example to the early church. His charity knew no end, even to the gridiron. Today, as we come forward on his feast day to celebrate Mass, how great it would be for us to say, "Asum est," that we have been so lit on fire by the Lord that we're willing to be consumed in this holy holocaust. Versa, turn us around, turn us from God here to go out and see God in the poor, to serve God in the poor, to sow ourselves bountifully among the world, and to allow ourselves to become one with this Eucharistic feast and consumed. This is the essence of Christianity. May we love what St. Lawrence loved, and may we put into practice what he taught, by his charity, by his martyrdom, by his lifelong diaconia. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.